So we discussed yesterday about the qualities of Krishna. And that, I think we came to a junction where we're going to list each individual quality separately and describe them. So that's, there's four special qualities that Krishna has that Vishnu doesn't have and Shiva and the Jivas don't have. What are those special qualities? Venu Madhurya is sweet. He plays the most sweet, all-attractive flute that attracts everyone in the universe. Two. Rupa Madhurya. The Lavanya Rupam of Shamsundar is so effulgent and so charming and attractive that it attracts every man, woman, bird, deer, fish, tree. Everyone in the whole universe is attracted to its form. Then. Lila Madhurya. Lila Purushottam Krishna's pastimes are so sweet and so attractive that even Lakshmi Devi wants to leave Vaikuntha. Goddess of Fortune wants to leave Vaikuntha to come take part in Krishna's Raslila. That's how sweet and attractive it is. They're supremely sweet, satisfying, and all attractive, even to Lakshmi Devi. Then? Prema Madhurya. The sweet love that Krishna exchanges with his premi bhaktas and the intimacy of that exchange and the sweetness and beauty of it is cannot be found anywhere in any from any form of Bhagavan or any holy or any level of the spiritual world. So that's Krishna's four specialities. We read about his, let's say, what was it, 50, I guess all the qualities, but now we read about his Guna. So now he's going to list by one. This is called Suryamya Anga. Suryamya Anga. He is beautifully limbed. Krishna has beautiful bodily limbs. And Rupa Goswami defines that. A person who is endowed with praiseworthy bodily parts is called beautifully limbed. And there's a verse here. It's not clear. First, Rupa Goswami, this is a standard in Vaishnava Pravachan, that one makes a statement with his own words. Actually, we're part and parcel of God. Krishna is telling this in Bhagavad Gita. Ameyavamcho jiva loke. You see? I spoke and someone said, who are you? You said that we're part and parcel of God. No, Krishna's telling himself. Acha, oh, Krishna's telling. You're a nonsense, but Krishna's telling. So first you make your own statement, which should be realized, what you understood and realized and perceived, and then you back it up or support it by Shastra quotes. Gauranga preaches like this. Rupa Goswami preaches like this. Prabhupada, everyone preaches like this. All preachers establish their points by the support and evidence of Shastra. Shastra Praman. So Rupa Goswami says, so someone might say, well, you say he's beautifully limbed and who has praiseworthy bodily parts. What's the proof? And there's one particular Shastra quoted here, but he's not citing where it's from. Unless he wrote it himself. And oftentimes he cites, in other editions of Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu I've seen, that whenever there's a quote of Shastra, it's cited. Either in the Jiva Goswami's purport, he says this verse is so-and-so, or in the purports of other commentators. So in the context of this discussion, we will see this standard there, that he mentions the quality of Krishna, then he explains a verse to support it. There's two things here, but generally, it would either be directly written by Rupa Goswami, which is acceptable, or it's coming from Puranas, Bhagavad Purana or others. And there's so many qualities here, and so many verses, verse after verse is quoted, and I don't see any references being made where they're from. In other editions, I've read other English editions of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and they always, so many verses he's citing, it can't be. There's 20 verses and 20 qualities. I'm looking ahead. 14, 15 qualities, and nowhere is mentioned the source. Except one place it says, this is an example from Mahabharata. That's after the 18th quality. So, generally, these supporting verses are coming from Bhagavad Puran or some other Puran. So this is a verse to explain how Krishna is beautifully limbed. Mukham chada karam karava divamaru dvayamidam bujo stambarambo shira sarasija varanyam karayugam kavattabhyam vakshastalam aviralam shani falakam parikshamo madhya spurati morahantur madurima. Madhuri, Morari Hantu means the killer of Mora demon. The sweetness of the form of Morari reveals, what does it reveal? His face, Krishna's face is like the moon, Mukachandra. His thighs are like elephant trunks, Urudvayam. Uru means thigh. His pair of thighs are like the elephant trunks. Krishna's arms are as sturdy as the bases of pillars, bujo, stamba, arambo. His hands are the object of praise for the lotuses, karayugam, his hands. His chest is as broad as a door. His hips are as massive. Are massive and his waist is thin. And when you see the form of Krishna, practically has most, not every detail of course, but he has all the basic attractive curves or of a woman, large hips and thin waist, whatever. Because Krishna is the ideal form of beauty. So when he expanded, when Krishna arose, Ekopahusham, when that one expanded into many, when Krishna expanded, when is eternal when, but there's no time, into Radharani, the form of Radharani to enjoy Vilas, then she took his wide hips and she took his thin waist and chest is broad, but not some different aspects of being broad or whatever. So this is Krishna. I remember when we were distributing Bhaktigadit magazines on the street, I've told this before, 1975, 74. There's a picture on the cover, whole cover, very old fat. The artists were a little free form in those days. So Krishna was sitting on a rock beside the Jamuna. I still remember the painting. It was so attractive to me. And he had really long hair. His hair was like this. Shoulder length. Because it says in Nectar Devotion that Krishna's hair hangs on his shoulders like crow's feathers. They're very black and shiny, like crow's feathers, very black and shiny. And it's hanging down. So he made the long hair like this and little loose ends on his chest. And he's playing a flute, so beautiful smile. And really shimmering yellow dhoti and jamuna. Very detailed painting. And then Prabhupada saw that. He said, this is very nice, but a little too hippie-ish. But it really sold a lot of magazines. Boy, the hippies loved it. He said, you know, God is the original hippie. Take this magazine, give $1, read all about it. Oh, yeah, give me two. Well, it's really beautiful. So this is his form is so attractive and beautiful. But Jiva says, although there are material objects being used to describe the beauty of the Lord. It's not fair. But these examples are given to describe the transcendental body of the Lord so that ordinary people can begin to understand the glories of the Lord. Ordinary people can begin to understand. When the Lord's intimate associates, but when Krishna's intimate associates give descriptions of Krishna, comparing Krishna's features to the moon and other objects, it should be understood in all cases that the moon and other objects are his spiritual vibhutis, directly participating in his pastimes. So we're talking about Krishna in Vrindavan. So there's a material moon and a spiritual moon. A spiritual sun and a spiritual sun. I mean, a material. A spiritual lotus and a material lotus. A spiritual lotus never fades. You know, fading? Never loses its color, never dries up and goes out. So there's some difference. So when we say Krishna's face is brilliant and effulgent like the full moon, that means the full moon in Vrindavan. Because Krishna's in Vrindavan. So there's the full moon. Well, there's Krishna's face. Oh, I'm a liberated soul. I'm a devotee of Krishna. I'm describing his beauty. So I'm having spurti of my Krishna. It says, when liberated souls, it says, when intimate associates describe the Lord, like Krishna's Kaviraj and Vishnu Chakravartipad and Rupa Goswami, these are intimate associates, Sakhi Manjaris. So they know what the Lord's face looks like in the full moon. Does Yashoda know what Lord Krishna's face looks like under the full moon? She's sleeping. She doesn't know. The answer is no. Because when the full moon is there, I mean, let's say in a high in the sky full moon, then Krishna's with the gopis, so they know. They're saying, oh, this full, so that full moon is Krishna's Shakti, Krishna's Vibhuti. It's just like it says in Brahma Samhita about the material demigods, the prototypes of the demigods are in the spiritual world. There's a spiritual Ganesh, a spiritual Shiva, etc. And they have expanded forms here. They're all there. So this material moon is simply an expansion of the Krishna Chandra, his Vibhuti. These are Krishna's spiritual opulences, Vibhutis. So spiritual Vibhuti means the moon is material. You agree? Is this moon material? Yes. It's made of material energy. But this moon is spiritual Vibhuti, transcendental moon. Spiritual Vibhuti means transcendental moon. And that moon is directly participating in Krishna's pastimes. So that means in all different forms, in all different shapes, as moons, as a moon, as stars, as water, as trees, as land, as latas, as gopis, as deer, as parrots, as peacocks, all these are Krishna's energies. Vibhuti means energy, Vibhuti Shakti. They're all Krishna's internal energies supporting and enhancing and increasing and enriching his lila. You follow? That's what Jiva Goswami is saying. So we'll start with number 2 tomorrow.